All right, Surah Al-Ikhlas. If we said to you, for example, do you like Bob? This is a very profound thing, and some of you may have heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it here. Do you like Bob? And you'll think, who likes Bob here? Anybody like Bob? But who likes him? Does anybody want to make a conclusion about their like or dislike for Bob? You'll say, Bob who? Right? Because you can't make a conclusion unless you know who Bob is. And if I say, oh, he's that post office worker that comes in, he wears the shorts and likes to fill up his water, you know, on his way out, and he might use the bathroom sometimes, and he says hello, and they're like, oh, I know that guy. And still something, you might know him, but still, you don't know too much detail about them, so you really can't say, do I like him or not? Taking from this, when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course, with Allah azza wa jal, people do not know Allah and His Messenger. And so when we tell someone, for example, like the brother was just asking, when someone says, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't know Allah azza wa jal. Or you tell someone, this is the sunnah of al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but say, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And you'll see people maybe in universities or youth and whatnot, challenging the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if it was the statement of any other human being. As if it was any other opinion, and he has an opinion and I have opinion. And they have this feeling because they don't know who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so a group of people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, describe your Lord to us so that we would know Him and tell us His genealogy, meaning who's His father, who's His daddy. Is He a God of gold? Is He from gold? Or is He from silver? Or is He from pearls? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. And so the surah actually is basically telling us who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's Allah azza wa jal that's in no need of anyone else or anything else. And it's a refutation of all those people that came before that said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son, or that Uzair was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all those things that were falsely ascribed to Allah azza wa jal.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قل هو الله أحد, which is actually a commanding verb. قل is say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pass on to the people and to understand ourselves first. قل هو الله, say He is Allah أحد. الله الصمد, Allah الصمد, and we'll explain صمد there. It says self-sufficient master. لم يلد, that He was not, it says not, He begets not, meaning He doesn't give birth to any children. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, nor was He begotten, meaning that there was no father or mother that gave birth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ, and يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, that there's no kufu, which is a co-equal, أَحَدٍ, anyone. There's nothing co-equaling or equaling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the Muslim understanding who their Lord is, who is their object of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very simple. When they say that, you know, the higher being, amongst the non-Muslims, when they say, I believe in a higher being, it's to simplify for them, we are worshipping that higher being that you cannot reject. This is what a Muslim is doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I'm going to go back and forward through the surah because it's just four ayats here. As-Samad, in verse 2, Allah azza wa jalla says, Allahu as-Samad. As-Samad is the person or someone that people turn to in their times of need. So if, for example, there was a community, and in that community there was one rich person. And so when the community was really, really in debt and they need to finish off like a $50,000 or something like that, they'll turn to like one person who's always helping. That would be Samad. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Samad of all the people. Allahu Samad. Meaning that everybody needs Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any food from anybody. He doesn't need any worship from anybody. He doesn't have any harm come to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from their disobedience. He's the master of which there is no master above him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas, and this was the statement of Ibn Abbas, he said, As-Samad is the one whom people turn to in their needs. If you'll notice in verse 1 and 2, these are positive characteristics. And 3 and 4 are negations of derogatory characteristics which were falsely ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, because someone may have good characteristics, but they may also have bad characteristics. And so just because you say so-and-so, that so-and-so he spends in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may be backbiting. That might be a characteristic of them. Just because they have good characteristics doesn't necessarily mean that they don't also have bad characteristics. Allah Azza wa Jal has all the great characteristics. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى has the beautiful names. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free and exalted from any shortcomings and any... In verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ that He begets not, nor is begotten. And that cuts off the genealogy from every direction. Meaning that He was not born, and nor does He beget, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't give birth to children, nor was He given birth to. And we said that this surah is also a refutation of the Christians who said that Isa was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say subhanahu, that is actually exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how far is Allah azza wa jal from the falsehood that they ascribe to Him. Abu Bakr al-Baqillani, he was a great Muslim scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Qadi Abu Bakr al-Baqillani. He once went in a delegation to the Christians in one of the lands and the Khalifa had sent him. And so he took this opportunity to teach him in a huge banquet. And all the Christians, the elite status were there, huge. And so he was speaking to the king, and then the high priest came in. And when the high priest came in, if you know, they practice celibacy, they wouldn't get married. When he, was saying everybody, bowed to him and so on, he came in. Abu Bakr, basically, rahimahullah ta'ala, he put his hand on his shoulder and basically said to him, so, how are the wife and kids? Right, and if you understand Christianity, that is the biggest blasphemy. To say that the priest is married and he has children. Right, so the crowd went silent. They went like that. Right, and then they said, how can you say this? Don't you know that our priests are not married and they don't have children? And then Abu Bakr al-Baqillani, and it's similar to how Ibrahim alayhi salam did it. He said to them, he said that you will negate any wife or children to this human being, but you ascribe it to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he said to them a very beautiful statement. He said, "Suddatan lihadha ar-ra'i ma aghlata." He said, "Perished be this claim that you've claimed, how incorrect and false it is." And everybody was silent. And actually the priest had told the king that, look, give him a gift and get him out of the banquet and expel him from the land. Because if you leave him here in this country, he'll cause great mischief amongst our people. And that's what it is, that they're riding on the mischief, or they're riding on these lies. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the originator of the heavens and the earth, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدٌ, how can he have a child, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبًا, and he doesn't have a wife. Because they're actually, if you look at really the details of how wretched their statement is, that Allah cannot have a wife until He had marital relations with a woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبًا. Because if they say he has to have a son, then he has to have a wife. And they actually say that Mary is the mother of God. They'll say it like that. That Mary is the mother of God. SubhanAllah, if you... there's a book by Ahmed Didat in which he said, what is his name? It's with that title. And he said that some African tribes, they have a name for God, and one of their names, it means that the one who doesn't go to the bathroom. That's the name of their God. And he said that these people are more civilized than the Christians because they know that their God could never go to the bathroom, to need food. Imagine if Isa a.s. came and they're worshipping Isa, and then it's a fundraising dinner or something like that, and he's eating with them. He's in need of sustenance. And then imagine the bathroom, and their God is going into the bathroom with them. And they knew that a God can never have need for food. And this actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this argument Allah brings in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah Azza wa Jal says about Isa and his mother, He says, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They both used to eat food. And then Allah says, أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الْآيَاتِ. Look, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how clearly we make the signs for them. That is the refutation right there, that they both used to eat food. And anybody who eats food cannot be a god. It's just that simple. Not only that, but they say that not only was he a god, but they'll say that he was actually executed. That a human being had executed their god. And as one of the Muslim poets, he wrote, he said, إِذَا صُلِبَ الْإِلَهُ بِفِعْلِ عَبْدٍ يَهُودِيٍ فَمَا هَذَا الْإِلَهُ. He said, if the Lord was crucified at the hands of a Jewish slave of his, then what kind of God is that? What kind of God? And in the Christians, of all the countries that they tried to Christianize in Africa, in the Muslim land, the one that they went full force was Egypt. Or Umm al-Dunya. They went full force to Egypt because if they could get Egypt, they knew Egypt had like the Arabian Hollywood, and they'd get the message out to everybody else. So after all the years, and they give the example as one of these missionaries going into a village and got the local mayor to gather everybody. And when everybody was there, they were falling asleep in the lecture. And the guy's talking about Jesus and so on. And everybody's falling asleep, and then he tells the mayor, like, please wake these people up. And so he basically, it's equivalent to saying like, takbir, right? But he, in Arabic, in Egypt, they go, wahidu, like that. Like, make him one, and then the whole group, they woke up and they said, la ilaha illallah. They said that there's no God but Allah. And there's other jokes on that stuff, but we can get to the Egyptian jokes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse it says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And then you'll also see in the fourth verse, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There's a difference between the word wahid and the word ahad. If you say ahad, it'll say there in English, I believe, it says the one. It should say the only. Because wahid is, you use the word wahid for something that has more than one. So if you have wahid, ithnain, thalatha, arba, that would be in the term of wahid. If you say, for example, ahad, that means the only, of which there is nothing like it. It's the only. If something is an only, then you would say ahad. So qul huwa Allah, say Allah is, and you've seen some of the translation, it said the one and only, meaning that there's no two of it. It's not that Allah is one and then there's another God which makes two. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And if you remember back when we were talking about الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witr, meaning that He's not a pair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is singular. And there's no other creation that is unique. Everything else has another pair of it. There's something like it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing like unto Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَوْ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. You'll see in the books of, in the chapter of marriage, if there's a, for example, an orphan girl, they would say that the judge has to marry her to someone who's كُفْءٌ لَهَا. كُفْءٌ means someone who is equal to her in status, in wealth, in different things. And then they start mentioning in the books, what is كُفْءٌ? And some people say it should be in the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the word kuf, it means an equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْءٌ. There's no equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَحَد. And it's interesting of this word أَحَد. If you say, for example, that, I need an example from the audience, so I think I'm going to use Sarmad's example, inshallah. If you say that, what are you good at? No one can give a usually the example is of basketball. Can you play basketball? Yeah? Okay. If you say that no one can beat Sarmad in basketball, and you say لا أحد يغلبه في كرة السلة, right? If you say no one can beat him, what that means in Arabic is that two people could double team him, right? And they could beat him in basketball. You know, but if you say in Arabic that no one can beat him, لا أحد, that means that no team, no matter how many people they bring, or whatever they do, they cannot beat him in this thing. And you can say that to an army, for example. لا أحد يغلبهم. That nothing can beat them. Right? It doesn't matter how many they bring. Nothing can beat them. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, it's not that if there's only one entity, it's not if you gather 300 idols that it will be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter how many idols or how many gods they have, it can never be equivalent to Allah Azza wa Jal or be equal to Allah Azza wa Jal. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيَعْجَزُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَقْرَأَ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. This is an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Is any of you not capable of reciting one third of the Quran every night? فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And that they felt it was hard upon them. How could they recite one third of the Quran every single night? فَقَالُوا وَأَيُّنَا يُفِيقُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, which one of us, O Messenger of Allah, is able to do that? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الصَّمَدُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ, meaning that the surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, is equivalent to one third of the Quran. This is narrated by Bukhari. And in conclusion, inshallah, there was actually, and there's different verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His oneness. And of those verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَا, meaning that if there were gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the earth would have fallen into ruin. And one of the children, actually this is in the kindergarten class, and they were playing Simon Says, right? Or Samir Says. And they're playing Samir Says, but both teachers were playing it at the same time. You know, so Samir Says, put your hands on your head, and then the other teacher says, Samir Says, put your hands on your hips. And then the children were looking at this teacher and looking at that teacher. And then it was an example for them to understand that there cannot be more than one God. So one of the kids said that I was so confused. How could there be two gods? And who am I supposed to listen to? I think because one of them started crying because they're actually confused. Like I said, it's kindergarten, but because of the the confusion of this. And when they say there's 300 gods, and they think that the world can work like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling their intelligence. That even if you have two bosses, and one tells you do this, one does that, you know the kind of confusion that will be in your mind. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And this aqidah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is burnt into our minds, meaning it's programmed into our fitrah. When the Christians say that Allah is a trinity, or they talk about trinity, it's a concept that they have to teach to people. They have to go all around the world and give lectures and classes and workshops and seminars to try to make the people understand their concept of God. No one could be alone in a desert and come to the conclusion that there's three gods, the Holy Ghost and Jesus. They cannot do that. However, like I gave the example, even in North America here, people that would be quick to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot get it out of their mind that there is a higher being. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. To start from this point, and then bring them forward to recognizing their ungratefulness to this Lord that they will not deny. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.